Engage.
Okay.
All right. You wake up in your coffin.
But he doesn't know where I went.
Well, what would you like to do?
I will keep reading.
Okay. You begin to read. And as you're reading for a couple hours, give me another listen roll.
Got that one.
You hear voices outside of the crypt.
Really?
Yes, sir.
What do I hear?
At this point, you just hear indistinct wah-wah, wah-wah kind of stuff.
I will go over by the door and listen at the crack.
It's still not distinct. You can definitely tell that it is... You can definitely tell that there's something there to listen to, though. I mean, you can't... The voices are slowly getting louder, let me put it that way. So you're hearing kind of... as people are approaching. You can see a slit of daylight through the window.
Okay.
Through the crack.
Can I see anything out?
No. Did you all move? You hear the voices have gotten really loud now. Probably just outside the crypt. And it sounds like they're passing by because they're starting to fade a little bit.
And I'll bang on the door once and get back in the coffin.
You hit the door and you realize with your... that it kind of just...
No strength.
Yeah, just kind of clacks. You just feel the bones in your fingers that are exposed kind of just go clack against the wall.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think that was... It wasn't loud enough.
Yeah. Okay.
And you hear the voices getting softer and softer.
Okay.
All right. And eventually they disappear.
Yeah. Great. Keep reading.
All right. You sit down and you read 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 and you read. And you read this third part, which comprises basically the last of the legible text. And this is sort of headlined as freeing the soul.
Okay.
This diatribe, because again, this is written from the mad, stark, mad ravings of a lunatic, right? In this section, he talks about getting rid of the transference. And it seems to be easy enough to do it as long as... So you've got the idea that this is a complicated process where you're jumping back and forth, and there, you know, there's a permanency thing going on here. It says that in order to stop this from occurring, someone must possess an enchanted copper knife. It's only in that enchanted magics that it would drive out the evil. However, in order to complete the freeing of a soul, one of the linked bodies must be killed with the knife, an action that will destroy both the physical and spiritual aspects of the victim. And then it goes on to say, you suppose you could use such a knife to kill yourself, but that would allow whoever possessed your real body to be free once more. The only solution, I guess, does that make sense? Follow along with what I will give you this. This is my only problem with this monophobia, is they really should have written it out. They only give, like, ad hoc explanations. So I will let you read that, because I don't really want to discuss it. But the idea is such that you would have, whoever you use the knife on, that person and their soul will be destroyed and it will separate it.
Right.
But if you use the knife, if you were to use the knife on yourself right now,
he would get my body.
Correct.
Okay.
So I'll give you that paper that I've been reading from in case you would like to. I just hate, normally in this game, I would take a clipping and just hand it to you, but I hate the way that they sort of ad hoc that.
Yeah.
As opposed to being, you know.
How soft and comfortable is the inside of that coffin?
Pretty soft and comfortable.
Okay. Can I separate enough of the stuffing in the bottom of it to wedge that knife in?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. You do that?
And then I wait.
Okay. I for the listeners, since they didn't quite get it.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm in a push-up position.
Jeff's idea is to wedge the knife in place and to wedge the knife so that when they transfer that the knife impales the guy. It's a good idea. It's a good idea.
It probably won't work. It'll just piss him off.
Might do that. Okay. So you've got that. We've got that. Things are sorted out. Okay. I'm assuming you're going to sort of wait there in the push-up position until...
Yeah.
Blackness, darkness, spinning, swirly, nausea, yeah. Blah, 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 blah. You feel yourself fall. You're not really sure what happened, but you feel yourself fall.
Yeah.
What is your fast talk?
23.
And your persuade is how much?
Persuade is 75.
Okay. All right. You wake up. You wake up in the study.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You wake up again, and you see the ceiling.
Uh-huh.
What would you like to do?
Get up and check the window.
Make me a sand check.
Shit.
Nice.
Yeah.
Toss me another 1d6. See if we make you go crazy.
Yep.
Oh, you go nuts. So you lose 6. I'll do it just so you can see. There's a chart in here and you roll a d10.
Yeah.
And then we decide how crazy you go. I'll show you the chart later. I'm going to say you go catatonic. As you, for some minutes, as you get up and turn and look, and you see...
a dead sister.
You see Sarah, murdered brutally, laying beside you, because your persuade is good. Even with the password, the persuade is real.
Ah.
Damn. Plus, she was going to sneak in anyway. She was going to sneak in anyway because...
of what I said.
Yeah. When you finally come to, you've been standing there for some minutes, maybe up to an hour, just staring at the bloody body of this woman. You realize that there's a piece of paper stuck to her chest.
Unwrinkling a wrinkled up piece of paper that Cody just flipped at me. You are never going to find me. Give up. It will be so much easier. See you soon. W.
You also lose one more magic point.
Yeah.
As you continue to feel weaker and weaker.
And crazier and crazier. Okay. Have I seen anybody with a W name?
No.
I didn't think so. Because I don't have one written down. What the hell am I missing?
You also smell smoke, you realize, in this room.
Okay, I'll look.
You realize that there's a metal waste bin where fire is slowly dying out.
Uh-huh.
And what's left is a spine of an old book. And from that spine, you can read a century of internment. Although it makes you feel any better, he probably fell on that knife and was really pissed. I do like that. It can't end this way, but I do like it.
Okay. Okay, I'll stamp out whatever's left.
Yep.
Is there anything left?
No, it's charred. It looked like he probably shredded it before he set the fire.
Okay. Open the door.
Guess who's standing there? Yeah. Didn't you?
Okay. Shut the door. God damn it. There's local history here. Right?
Hmm?
Local history books.
No, it's not local history.
Just current history. All right. Where could I find information similar to what was in that book?
Well, you still haven't looked at any of the documentation that was in the train locker.
No, I haven't. Can I get back out?
You notice that a bookshelf has now been pushed in front of the window.
Any other way out of here?
Try and move the bookshelf.
Yeah, I could.
We'll go with strength times 5. Bless you.
Thank you. Nope.
You end up, you move the bookshelf, and it's not that you can't move it, it's that you suddenly realize you don't have the strength to support it with all the weight.
Uh-huh.
And it ends up toppling and smashing to the floor.
Nice.
And as soon as you hear that, you hear a slam on the door.
Okay.
And then you hear another slam at the door. As you start to see the frame begin to crack.
Okay.
The window is accessible now if you climb over the bookshelf.
I'm getting out of here.
Give me a dex times 5.
I just made it.
So you climb over the bookshelf, lift the window, you're just getting it open as the, you know, zombified corpse of Arthur Saxville smashes through. He runs across and grabs for you as you tumble out the window.
Uh-huh.
And in the distance, you hear sirens.
Is he coming after me?
He seems to be stumbling and fumbling on top of the bookshelf, but he definitely appears to continue grabbing for you. At this point, you think it would take him a while to get out of the window. I mean, he's not very intelligent.
Right. Sirens sound like they're coming here?
Could be.
How was the sister killed?
Murdered with a knife.
Yeah. I am... God.
No-win scenario. Sometimes you just gotta run.
Yep. I am bugging out.
All right, you take off. Where are you going?
I don't know if I should go back to my car.
It's where you left the key.
Yeah, I know. I will check out the car from the distance.
Nothing about the car. You don't notice anything about the car. The car's right where you left it.
Okay. I will grab my stuff out of the car.
Okay.
Actually, I'll get in the car and go to the train station.
You get to the car and you go to the train station.
All right. I'm getting the paperwork and...
You get the paperwork.
Going through it. What is it?
You realize that part of it is a diatribe from Sackville. Sort of a public confession where he talks about... he was grave robbing to sustain himself, but it wasn't just to sustain himself. While in Africa, he encountered a cult of ancient Egyptian god worshippers, and the group that he was with tried to do something about the cultists, and it and then they discovered that the cultist had aligned itself with some sort of horrific group of alien monsters that feed on the dead. And he was one of the only ones to he was the only one to escape at his party. Everyone else was slaughtered before his eyes, but he was able to get away. Several days later, he was found wandering the desert and nursed back to health. But ever since then, he's had a fascination with these ghouls that, you know, attack people. So he was interested to see if the ghouls... What he had read in various cult texts is that the ghouls are actually prevalent across the world. So he was sort of interested in seeing if there was anything local that he could find, any local ghoul infestation. He wanted to, because the monsters were horrific and watching them tear people apart was awful. So he kind of wanted to get rid of them. In the process, of course, he was also taking stuff in order to finance himself, you know, and make a living. And what you do is that, you could see that he wavered with himself on whether or not he should steal items, but he was breaking into crypts at night and searching them for the presence of ghouls. And then he was stealing the stuff to sell to finance his research. The last thing that you find from about a month ago was a reference to a Wheatley family tomb.
Thank you.
Supposedly the last member of that family was a wizard. And that's the last entry.
All right. Public records.
Sure. You can do that.
Wheatley family.
The Wheatley family. There is not much about the Wheatley family. You do, from his notes, you would know where the crypt is.
Oh, okay. Screw it. I'm just going for the crypt.
Okay. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. What is this from? Oh, yeah. A lot of notes known about ghouls and their habits, local tombs. Oh, okay. After reading this stack of notes, you gain 1 point in Cthulhu Mythos. So your Cthulhu Mythos goes from 11 to 12.
Okay.
You lose a permanent sanity point, so that takes you down to like 87 or something. So just there at the end, mark that out. And then you also lose one sanity as you learn more about the ghouls.
I lose
you
one
lose
more.
Yeah.
How do you recover sanity?
Very slowly and not much at all.
Ah, okay.
So you do want to research Wheatley, or you don't want to research Wheatley?
Yeah, I might as well.
You find out that you're able to investigate relatively easy, and a lot of what you get is a cross reference to a century of internment, as that is the most recent documentation. But you are able to find out that he lived in Arkham until he died in 1897. There's some records of supposedly him being a wizard and stuff like that. Mostly what you find out is stuff about his death. His expired body was found on the floor of his study in quite a state, and no one's quite sure how he died. They think it might have been an animal attack. They're not quite sure. And according to his will, the one thing is he was a valuable book collector. He had a lot of books, and he had no heirs. So he wanted to have them. He, apparently in his will, you find this in some old newspapers, it was kind of a fracas, is that he wanted to be buried with his books. And apparently when the city looked over his estate while, you know, doing his proceedings, there was several people on the city council who decided it would be a waste to bury such valuable and rare texts. And so several of them were donated to various libraries and historical societies throughout the county.
Right.
As opposed to burying them.
Okay. I am stopping by the hardware store, getting me a crowbar, and going to the crypt.
Okie dokie. So you go and get yourself a crowbar?
Yeah.
Are you getting yourself anything else?
Is there something else I need?
I don't know. I just figured I'd ask while you were there.
I've got a flashlight. No, I think I'm good.
Okay.
I'll regret that later.
As you go and get your crowbar, you get out to your car, and you start feeling nauseous. and dizzy.
And I'm getting out of the car and walking away from it.
Okay. So you stumble. Give me a con by four roll this time.
Yeah.
You're able to stumble a block and a half, two blocks, and then you see pavement rush up to you.
Okay.
And you wake up in the tomb.
Okay. All right. God, I'm going to wake up in jail. There's nothing else to read.
Nope. You notice the knife is no longer where you left it. You didn't wake up with the knife in your chest.
Back in the box?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a hole in the chest?
Inside the chest cavity? Yeah, probably.
How the hell am I going to kill a desiccated corpse with that shitty little knife?
Magic, bro.
Oh, okay.
At least if you believe the book, that's what Dave Hermes Mysterious said.
I sure as hell hope it's right. I'm kind of out of options. Anything to do in here?
It's up to you. Nothing has changed.
Can I speak?
Roll me a sand check.
Yeah, made that one.
You lose 1 point. When you begin to speak, you cough up dust. It's pretty disgusting.
Do I make any noise, though?
It's raspy, like kind of. You can kind of make noise. Very softly.
Okay. I am not even sure what to do. I'm going to get that book.
Okay.
There's nothing else to read, right?
No, you pretty much covered anything that's legible.
Okay. I'm going to take it over to that patch in the floor.
Okay.
And I'm going to start dropping it.
Okay. You hear that it sounds a little echoey underneath it, maybe. But, I mean, you're not doing anything concrete by dropping a wet, sticky book on the floor.
Except making noise.
Very slightly.
Okay. I don't know what to do.
Fair enough. You can just wait it out if you like.
No ideas, no nothing.
I mean, you've got ideas. You know what's going on now.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to off myself with a knife.
It's fair. I would say, according to Dave Hermes Mysterious, you would have to stab him.
Right.
While he's occupying a corpse.
Well. Sorry, guys. I know this is interesting radio.
This is the climax. I gotta give you any opportunity that you have that you might want to take. That doesn't mean that there is anything to take. Just a question. So you've got your copper butter knife.
Yep.
That's really all you've got.
And there's no good way for me to get it out of here.
Correct.
No windows, no nothing.
Nope.
All right. I'm going to leave the box right where it is.
Okay.
And I'm going to stash the knife at the door. Is there any place that I could hide it?
The only real places not within plain sight are the coffin in the back, the box, the shelves where the corpses are, or the coffins are, and then you have that pedestal. Otherwise, there's nothing.
I will drop it in the fluid, or in the liquid.
Okay.
Underneath the book.
Okay. Alrighty.
And wait it out.
Alright. Eventually, everything goes dark.
Yeah.
Okay.
I am ready to prawn.
You wake up. It's the middle of the night, and you're someplace you haven't woken up before.
Okay. What's it look like?
it looked...
A cell?
No. Nope, not in jail. You realize that you are in the middle of the lecture hall at the Historical Society.
It's the middle of the night?
It is. In fact, it's for thematic effect. It's raining and storming outside.
Oh, great. God, tell me I'm not surrounded by corpses.
You're not surrounded by corpses, but as you look around, there's a flash of light, and as there's a flash of light, you see that you've got cuts, and you can feel bruises on yourself as if you've been in a fight, and you just generally feel sore all over. And then there's another flash of light, and you see that there's another flash of light, and you see that there's a something off to your left. And as you turn and look, again, it's dark, and you're just kind of getting intermittent lightning flashes. But in the next lightning flash...
Oh, okay. Oh, God. It's lightning flashes. I thought I was seeing, like, camera flashes off to the side, like, oh, God, what the fuck is going on?
you see lightning flash again, and you turn, and you see lightning flash... You see that there's a giant pentagram drawn in chalk on the floor. And then there's another lightning flash, and you see there's a chair inside the middle of that pentagram. And then there's another lightning flash, and you see the body of Josephine tied to that chair. Roll me a sand check.
No.
1d6.
Jesus.
You scream, obviously.
Yeah.
As the lightning flashes again, the Josephine appears to be unconscious.
Okay.
Yet as you look down, you realize you are also Josephine, but that is Josephine.
Okay. That's okay. The fuck.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, and I lose a magic.
Yes, sir.
All right. I will check out the other Josephine.
You realize as you approach the pentagram, it's like you're hitting a brick wall.
Okay. Any sign of Robo Arthur?
Nope.
No? All right. I am...
No sign of the Terminator.
Yeah. I look like I'm like I've been beat to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. How far away am I from where I ditched the car?
You ditched the car at the hardware store, which was relatively near your apartment. So we'll say a 20-minute walk, maybe.
Okay.
You're a fashionable lady. You probably live in the downtown area.
All right, I'm getting the hell to my car.
Okay. It is pouring. It is a monsoon outside, so you're totally soaked to the bone as you jump into your car.
Okay.
You see the crowbar right where you left it, along with the keys laying on the floor.
Heading to the crypt.
All right, you're on your way to the crypt. You get to the crypt. You pull up to the cemetery on a dark night, and... You drive through the lot, and you very quickly find the tomb that says Wheatley on the outside, and you see that it's got a nice shiny new padlock on the outside.
That's why I got me a crowbar.
All right. Well, hit that thing.
What do I need?
We'll just call it a...
Strength?
We'll just call it a... Well, because you can't miss. So, yeah, we'll just call... Just roll.
I'm prying it. I'm not...
Yeah, just roll a strength and let's see how well you do.
88.
What's your strength?
12.
So that's like strength times 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, 62 is 18. It's like strength, almost strength by 7. Okay. You pry and because of the wet and stuff, the crowbar slides off. Try again.
Okay. 72.
All right, you're getting it. You're still slipping, but you're getting it. A little bit more. A little bit more.
55.
It's straining. At this point, it's just a matter of time before it pops off. And as it pops off, you see it come off, and you pull the chain off the two handles. You can now throw open the doors to the crypt.
Okay, I will. I will throw open the doors. Screw it.
Okay. Give me an idea roll.
59 out of 75.
All right. You happen to park your car in a nice place so that when you throw open the crypt, the headlights zoom past you into the crypt. And in the back, you see the desiccated corpse of Wheatley. And standing in front of him, you see two other animated corpses.
No shit.
So we will call this combat. We will go in dex order.
We will call this. This bitch is getting killed.
Your dex is 13, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. You go first.
Okay.
Make me a sand check first.
Yeah, made it.
You lose 1 point for seeing these desiccated corpses. It's not Saxville or his sister. It appears to be two corpses of the Wheatley family that he's pulled in from.
Oh, okay.
That he's resurrected.
So maybe not quite as Terminator-ish?
Don't know.
A cult, or?
It is your move. It would be impossible to tell. I mean, they're okay. Definitely less alive. They're less recently dead than he was.
Okay.
So what would you like to do?
Reach in the pedestal. See if it's there.
Give me a luck check.
Made it!
You made it by 1 point. Yep, it's there. And you see a look of surprise on the dead eyes of Wheatley because he thought it was in the box because he's an idiot, apparently.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've got the dagger.
All right. I've also got the crowbar, and I'm holding on to it.
Yep.
I'm
trying to think. You went in, you grabbed it. You could probably advance, but I don't know that you could attack either one of the corpses if that's what you would want to do.
No, I'll let them come to me. I want to see what they do.
Okay. You notice the corpses begin to shamble towards you.
Shambling.
Yep.
Slowly?
Yep, but they're going to get there.
Okay.
So they get up to you, and the first one reaches his hands out to grab a hold of you.
Uh-huh.
And he grapples for you and misses. The second one reaches for you, and that one impales. So he's...
No shit.
The second one's got a hold of you. You can attempt to dodge if you would like.
Yeah, I think I'm going to dodge. Where is it? I'm probably going to fail.
Yeah, you never know.
Oh!
You dodge.
Yeah.
So it reaches out. I mean, it's got you in its paws, and you just kind of duck underneath and dodge. So they're both standing there. Now we... Is this on here? Does it tell me how to do this? Okay. You see that Wheatley is mumbling, rasping. And he's mumbling and whispering, and as he's mumbling and whispering, you're starting to feel very not good. Oh no, that's the wrong die. Sorry. As you lose 2 points of pow. So your pow goes from 17 to 15.
Okay.
As you feel, it's like he's pulling your soul right out of your chest.
Ah.
He's clearly performing the permanence part of
the
spell.
Oh, okay. I get you.
It's your turn.
I'm going to barrel right through the corpses if I can. And just charge straight through.
If you do that, I will give it to you on a hard dex check. So maybe dex... Unless I'm trying to think if there's a good skill that you can use. I don't think there is. Because you've got these two corpses standing right in front of you. So if you don't... You almost have to attack them. Otherwise, it's going to be hard to get.
They both just missed me. They're both true. Off balance.
True, but they are right in your way. Like, you would almost have to barrel them over. I mean, you could use strength to barrel them over, but I doubt you'll be able to push them over, but I suppose you could try.
All right, I'll bash one with a crowbar.
Okay, that's what you want to do. Roll. The knife will use your punch. The crowbar is probably going to use, you've got what, like axe or club?
Yeah, there's club.
The knife is small enough that it's basically a punch.
Right.
So you can use either one.
Okay, and if I don't have anything in punch, I just get the 50%?
Correct.
Club B 17. It hits.
I wonder what kind of damage that does.
46.
The double barrel shotgun does 46.
Yeah.
Which you can buy at the hardware store. In case anyone was wondering. It's really actually funny that you...
Where the hell can you buy a shotgun at a hardware store?
In the 1920s. Did you know you can order a Thompson submachine gun out of Sears and Roebuck catalog?
Well, no. If you told me that, this would have been a whole different scenario.
In this game, they intentionally make it hard, but we'll call that a club. A club is... I'll even call it a... You got a crowbar. I'd say that's similar to a poker, which is 1d8 plus your damage bonus.
What is my damage bonus?
You don't have one because you're too tiny.
8. Take it!
You ever seen Shaun of the Dead?
Yeah.
You very cricket bat style bash that thing's head in.
Good.
And it slumps to the ground. Okay, so... Okay, so that one slumps to the ground. You see... The one that's still standing reaches for you.
Mm-hmm.
He hits. Give it a shot. He attempts the dodge.
No. All right. He got me.
So that one's got a hold of you.
Okay.
And then you see some weird stuff start to happen, and you see the corpse that you just bashed its head in starts rolling around and acting like it's about to get up. And
this guy.
Yep, he's kind of a douche. Okay. Where did I put my d6? 1d3 plus 1 as he casts the spell. So another 3 points from your pal.
Okay.
As again, you feel that lifeblood being sucked out of you.
Okay.
Okay, so here's what you can do. You're grappled, so to be able to move out of his range, you're gonna have to fight him strength v strength. Or you can attack with the dagger at half because you're locked up. Well, your strength is what?
12.
And theirs is that, so... You have a decent shot. You need a 60 or less in order to break free.
Okay. Now, does this take up my action?
We're gonna play it a little by ear.
No, I didn't get away.
Okay, I'll let you make a dagger attack at
Got that.
Okay. The dagger is. Toss me a d4. You barely nick it, but you see it reacts. I mean, as much as a corpse can react, it like, it's got a hold of you, and you nick it with that dagger, and you feel those dead hands, those dead fingers that are clawed into your shoulders relax a bit. So you can tell that definitely did some damage.
Oh, okay.
He's gonna try and drag you over to the corner So it's another strength roll. Since yours was 60 or less, he's got to do... It's me. Huh. I'm active. He's got to get 40 or less with his strength to start dragging you away. And he succeeds. So you're being pulled farther away from Wheatley over to the corner.
I'm right at the door.
Well, he's... Yeah, you're at the door. There's kind of a step down in. You kind of took those two steps. Now he's dragging you over to the corner to try and pin you as far away as possible. Okay. And you notice that that grip tightens back up. Metagame, he's regaining HP. Hamina, 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 raspy spell, raspy spell, raspy spell. That's 4 that time, as you lose another 4 on your pal. Alright. Your turn, Josephine. Feel the soul being leached out of you.
Yeah.
Strength.
Got it.
All right. You have wrestled yourself free.
60? That's an impale. I don't know if it does anything.
You've just wrestled yourself free of his grasp.
Okay.
Would you like to move or anything?
Oh, yeah. I'm going after Wheatley.
All right. You make me a dex.
At this point, I'm being reckless, and I am, like, diving over the casket to get him.
Right. Make me a dex check. Dex by 5. Oh. The grasping hands of the one on the ground happens to catch your foot as you go by, and you stumble. Okay. Let's see. I want to do... The one on the ground that's just tripped you up is going to reach for you, but he's going to have... he has to do it by half because he's laying on the ground and has had his head bashed in, which does affect him slightly. He does not. The other one's going to shamble over and try and pin you to the ground with the grapple. He succeeds. You can make a dodge.
No.
All right. So you trip on the ground and you're kind of sprawled, and he comes over and he puts his hands down on you and is kind of pinning you to the ground in a grapple. And still Wheatley is casting his horrific spell of death and destruction.
Yeah.
Only 2 points that time.
Okay.
As you feel your soul being ripped out by this evil Wheatley sorcerer. More and more. And it's your turn.
I'm going to try and shake this guy off of me.
All right. 60 or less.
Yeah.
All right. You wiggle across the floor and you're able to get out of his grasp.
Okay.
If you're being reckless, you can dive and attempt to stab Wheatley. All right.
What am I rolling?
Your punch. 50.
Nope.
All right. You dive and you leap at him, and it's probably just because you're going full bore that you kind of crash into the coffin and kind of, you know, push it off to the side, and he's able to just get out of the way. The zombies are on their way to you. The other one gets back up. So they're both standing now, and they're both approaching you, but they can't quite get to you because you've sort of thrown yourself on the other side of the coffin.
Yeah.
As he humna, 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 you lose another 2.
down to 4, pal.
Your vision's getting woozy. You know that if you take a big shot, you're gonna get hurt. All right. Knife him.
Yeah. 17.
You knife him. What would an impale be? 50 would be 10. Okay, so it's not an impale. So toss me the d4.
4.
He lets out a raspy howl as you slice him badly. He's not dead, but you have hurt him quite significantly. Here come the ghouls, here come the ghouls. Well, not ghouls, I shouldn't say ghouls. Here come the reanimated undead. That one misses. That one misses. Casting a spell. 3.
I'm not able to interrupt him or anything?
Nah. There's nothing fancy in this. You just die. That's how Call of Cthulhu works.
Wow. Because that's going to happen.
Well, all right. Neither one of them grabbed you. Make your attack. Best of luck.
Seven.
Seven's an impale.
Yeah.
Seven is double damage. So, yep, 2d4. Plus one. Are you serious?
No.
You leap again, you give it all you've got, and you bury that thing into his chest, and he gasps, and he's got just one hit point left.
Oh my god!
You're holding onto the knife, and he's just looking at you with horrific eyes, and he mumbles a little bit more, and your soul disappears as it all fades to black.
Oh my god!
You needed one extra hit point. And I was like, oh, he critted. I'm like, he's got this. He's got this. No big deal. And then I'm like, four. He needed five. So there you go. That was Of Grave Concern, Monophobia, released by Unbound Publishing. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that. I think old Jeff Thorpe here might murder me now. But no. Hopefully you had fun.
Yeah, I did.
You fought valiantly, but that was just that much. Nah. Well, anyway, I hope you guys appreciated this. Let us know on Facebook. Like, share, subscribe, comment on iTunes. Share it with your friends. Hopefully you enjoyed that. And hopefully we'll bring you another game soon. I'm sure Jeff will get his revenge in Trail of Cthulhu.